You are not an ordinary person. We are the outshining of God's glory. Don't let any circumstance have enough power to bother you. The Father has nowhere to stay than inside you and cannot express himself unless through your body. So your body becomes his body. That is why the Bible says we are the body of Christ. Saudi, say, I'm a doer of the word. I'm a world shaker. I live by the word. I'm born by the word. We are here to produce heaven on this earth. I produce heaven on earth. Zadiva Kasi. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. That's why I say, don't give up. Hi. Moko seki para vuka du seti baha. Zagu. Rebege de Bezia. Vege. Yakusa tifaroski para kataya. Ah, it's like turning water into wine.
You are invited to World Changes Conference this Sunday at Airport West Hotel at 6 p.m. and every other Sunday. Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. Enjoy grace as you grow in the knowledge of God.
Now lift up your right hand and say this after me. Say, the word of God is God speaking to me. Say it again. Say, the word of God is God speaking to me. Say, I am who Christ is. I have what Christ has. I can do what Christ can do. I'm seated where Christ is seated. Say, I am who Christ is. I have what Christ has. I can do what Christ can do. I'm seated where Christ is seated. In heavenly place. Now, say, the word of God is God speaking to me. Say it again. Say, the word of God is God speaking to me. Say, the word of God is God speaking to me. Look at somebody and tell the person, Happy Easter. And tell the person that you're welcome to World Changers Conference. Shout it again. Say, you're welcome to World Changers Conference. Say the third time, say, you are welcome to World Changers Conference. Shout a big hallelujah. Mary, please be seated. I want to hear you talk back to me. Amen. Shout a big hallelujah. Shall we please open our Bibles? We are talking with our theme for the year is Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. Look at someone, tell the person, Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. Say it again. Say, Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. Shout hallelujah. And last week we talked about the resurrection of Jesus. We talked about what salvation was. And we said salvation is not free from sin. Redemption is free from sin. And salvation is an identification with the Lordship of Jesus. So that when we say you are saved, it means you are identified with the Lordship of Jesus. And we went to Romans chapter 10 when we said that if anyone shall confess the Lord Jesus and shall believe with thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. Today we are talking about the dual creation. The new creation, the mirror of the Christ, the mirror of the Christian, the dual creation. The dual creation. Praise God. Now I want you to understand this. That you see, the resurrection of Jesus is very important. The resurrection of Jesus is very important. Look at someone, tell the person, the resurrection of Jesus is very important. You see, when Jesus arose from the dead, the Bible says that he told his disciples to go and be witnesses of him. He says, go and be witnesses of me. He says, you shall receive power. He says, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, then you shall be witnesses of me in Judea, in Jerusalem, and in all parts of the earth. Shout amen. Amen. Now, when Jesus was saying that, the Bible said that he had He had been raised from the dead by the Holy Ghost and has shown himself through infallible proofs that he was alive. He had shown himself through infallible proofs that he was alive for 40 days. So when he was raised from the dead, he showed himself to his disciples and other people for 40 days with infallible proofs, doing miracles alongside. Shout a big hallelujah. Now, he showed himself with infallible proofs and told them when he was ascending that you shall receive power and be witnesses of me, my witnesses. Now, the witnesses he was talking about was the witness of his resurrection. Why was he talking about the witness of his resurrection? Because the resurrection has utmost importance. You see, when he came, the Jews saw him, the Israelites saw him. When he was crucified, when he was doing miracles, turning water into wine, they saw him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So when he was turning water into wine, they saw him. When he was arrested, they saw him. When he was being crucified, they saw him. They were the ones who said, his blood be on our lives, on our children. So they saw him. They were there. The Jews. But when he arose from the dead, they didn't see him. So what Jesus was telling them to go and do was to go and witness. To go and tell them that he, even though he died, he is now alive. Praise God. So when the Holy Ghost came and Peter was preaching, he said, Jesus, a man approved of God with signs and wonders among you, which you all know. Then he talked about the prophecy of David. Then he said, and God raised him from the dead. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, reading downwards. Then he says, and we are witnesses of these things. What are we witnesses of? Witnesses of the truth that he arose from the dead. It means that the resurrection of Jesus is very important. Last week I said it that you can't understand Christianity if you don't understand the resurrection. Why? Because Christianity began from the resurrection. Christianity did not begin when he died. No. If he had not risen, all these things we are preaching would have been vain. Paul said that if there was no resurrection, our preaching would have been vain. And our faith would have been vain. Tell somebody he resurrected. Tell the person I can say he resurrected. See, there are two kinds of creation. It's very important. If you have a book, I want you to write it down or keep it down. There are two kinds of creation. There are two kinds of beginning. Oh, Shabala Kosheki Ravahashtala. Luva Kosinde Lebeko Shaya. There are two kinds of creation. There are two kinds of beginnings. So we are all familiar with Genesis. When the Bible says, God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. And the earth was without form. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the earth was empty. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there are two kinds of creation. The first one is the one revealed to us by Moses. And the second one is the one revealed to us by Paul. So there's the first one revealed to us by Moses. Then the second one revealed to us by Paul. Now, Moses reveals to us in Genesis how God created the heavens and the earth. That is the beginning. That is the first beginning. I want you to understand this thing. It's very important. And how the earth was without form and empty. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And the Bible says, and there was light. And God spoke things into being. God created the heavens. God created the earth. And God spoke things into being. And God said, let there be light. And light came. And God separated the light from the darkness. And called the darkness night. And called the light day. Hallelujah. And God kept creating things. Created things. Created the moons, the stars, dry land. And created all kinds of things. He created all kinds of things. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That is the first creation. After he had created all of them, he said that, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Then he said, and let them have dominion over the fishes of the sea, over the birds of the air. So the Bible says, God formed man out of the dust of the ground. The first man, Adam, was formed out of the dust of the ground. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the Bible says, and man became a living soul. When man became a living soul, the Bible says God planted a garden in the east of Eden and called it the Garden of Eden and planted man there. When he planted man there, all the things that man needed was there. When he planted man there, all the things that man needed was there. God is a provisional God. Tell somebody, God is a provisional God. Yeah. So all the things that the man needed was there. And then the Bible says that God defined man. He said, let them have dominion over the fishes of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle. Let them have dominion. So Adam was given dominion over the fishes of the sea, over the birds of the air. And I always say that the dominion that Adam had was an earthly dominion. A dominion which was after the fishes of the sea, the birds of the air, and all creation. Shout amen. Amen. But Adam did not have dominion over the invisible. That is why the devil could mess him up. Why? Because he did not have dominion over the invisible. Listen, it's very important you catch it from this place. Adam had dominion, but his dominion was over the fishes of the sea, the birds of the air, and to keep the garden. But his dominion was not an invisible dominion or dominion over the invisible world. So when the devil wanted to mess them up, the Bible says that a serpent came. Why was it a serpent? Why did he show himself to Jesus and say, if you are the Son of God? And why was it a serpent that showed himself to Adam? It shows you the levels in creation. Shout amen. Amen. Shout amen. Amen. So Adam had, number one, Adam had an earthly dominion. His dominion was not over the invisible things. His dominion was over the visible things. But you see, Adam was not God's original purpose. Open to Romans chapter 5. Oh, Shaboro Kosandala Makosa. Open to Romans chapter 5 quickly. We don't have much time. Romans chapter 5. I think verse 14. It was 14. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. We'll read it quickly. Romans
chapter 5, verse 14. Oh, Holy Ghost. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses.
Even over those who had not sinned according.
Even over those who had not sinned according to the similitude of Adam.
According to the likeness of the transgression of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the type of him who was to come?
Who is the type? If you have your Bibles or if you are writing, just write type. Who is the type? Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Adam was the... Obed, you can sit down. Adam, the Bible says that he was a type. The King James says that he was a figure. Shout a big hallelujah. I want you to go home blessed tonight. I want you to live here changed, metamorphosed. From one level of glory to another level of glory. As the word of God comes to you, your eyes are being opened. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So Adam, he says that was a type, was a figure. Adam was a figure of the one who was to come. The first man, Adam, was a figure of the one who was to come. So when God was creating Adam, he was creating a figure of the actual one. The figure, the translation figure means a sketch. The Greek word is tupos, it means a sketch. It means an outline. It means a shadow, a counterfeit of the original. That was what Adam was. Why is it important that we understand this? Because many Christians think that they are the seed of Adam. Shout hallelujah. Oh, if you are listening to me, shout another big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This hallelujah is too small. Shout another big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So he was a figure, a sketch of the one who was to come. A figure of the one who was to come. So, Adam was a figure. Why? Many Christians over think that we are the seed of Adam. Many think that what Jesus came to do was to restore us back to Adam. Many Christians think that, we are the generation of Adam. We are Adam's generation. It's a wrong mentality. Tell somebody, it's a wrong mentality. Tell the person, you are not a generation of Adam. Oh, why are you shy? Look at the person saying, you are not a generation of Adam. Hallelujah. So many Christians go around thinking that, we are a generation of Adam. No, that's wrong. Something that we are restored back to Garden of Eden. That's also wrong. Something that we are restored to what Adam was. Now after Jesus' resurrection, we've been restored to what Adam was. That's wrong. Adam was just a figure. Adam was just a figure. Now go to John chapter 1. Oh, Shama lebe koshandalabaka. Ole ashpere lemenku sandili makosha. Go to John chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Robert, quick. Mm-hmm, okay.
In the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
And the Word was God.
Mm-hmm. Continue. The same was in the beginning with God.
The same was in the beginning with God.
Mm-hmm. All things were made by Him.
And all things were made by Him.
And without Him was nothing.
And without Him was
anything
nothing
made that was made.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, my eyes, the eyes of my understanding is being enlightened tonight. Say that again. Say, the eyes of my understanding is being enlightened tonight. He says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said He was with Him in the beginning, and all things were made by Him. He said there was nothing that was made that was without Him. So everything that was made by Him. In Him was life. He was talking about the Word of God. The Word of God that was equal to God. Equal with God. Why? Because it was the Word that was proceeding out of God. Having the same capacity and personality with God. Are you listening? Now, look at John and his description. He says that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And He said, in Him was life. Now, when you look at that description and compare it to the description that was given to Adam, you see a difference. Now, the Bible says that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We all know about it. Now, you see that he was describing the Word becoming flesh different from when he was talking about Adam and his dominion. You're not catching this thing. Are you listening? So it means that he has spoken about one person called Adam. Now he is speaking about the Word of God, which had become flesh. Then he says that all things were made by the Word. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. In the Word was life. So all the things were made by the Word. And the Word had become flesh and now dwelt among us. And He said, we beheld His glory. But the Word had been made flesh. When the Word was made flesh and was walking around us, or walking around the world, the person that was walking in the world was different from Adam. Why? It shows us that what Adam had and what that person was different. In other words, the description of Adam in Genesis and his dominion and the things he had to do was different from the description of Jesus Christ when he came. Why? Adam had dominion over what had been created. But this one created it. Are you listening? Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Quick. Shokaramakosandele mekosa. Mikoribakosi kaliva kashaya. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Let's start from verse 15 and then let's read the Colossians chapter 1.
Mm-hmm. Colossians chapter 1, mm-hmm. verse 15. Mm-hmm. Who is the image mm-hmm. of the invisible God? Mm-hmm. The firstborn of all creation.
Now, wait. Hallelujah. Now listen. You see, God began the beginning. The first beginning. Made man. Put him in charge of things. Left him. We all know about the story of sin. So I'm not going into the story of sin and how he messed up and all those things. Then the Bible says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. What did the word come to do? The word came to begin another beginning. It means that when God was creating all things and brought Adam into place, all those things were not his original intention. How do we know that? If it was his original intention, why did Jesus come? Now, last week I said it here that Jesus did not come because of sin. No. And I said Jesus came because of salvation. And I said that redemption is your freedom from sin. But salvation is your identification with the resurrection of Jesus. Now listen. So, Jesus came to begin a beginning. Jesus came to begin another creation. Why? Because it was him. Oh, go to Hebrews chapter 2. Before we go to the Colossians. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 to 10. Listen very carefully to bless your life.
Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 to 10.
Verse 9 to 10.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Mm-hmm. But we see Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Who was made a little lower than the angels.
Uh-huh.
For the suffering of death.
Mm-hmm.
Crowned with glory and honor.
Uh-huh.
That he. By the grace of God uh-huh. might taste death for everyone.
For everyone. Uh-huh.
For it was fitting for him. For whom are all things. And by whom are all things.
Oh, but it's okay. Now, Hebrews 2 says that it was fitting that the one by whom are all things and for whom are all things in bringing many sons into glory. So, the second Adam that came, that is Jesus Christ, the Bible says that by whom are all things. And for whom are all things? The first man, Adam, was given dominion of that which had been created. The second man who came, look at his description. His description shows us that he was higher enough than the first one. Have you now caught what I'm saying? So when he came into this world, his description, according to the revelation that was given to John, and Paul, let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Mm-hmm. Now listen, it says, who is the image of the invisible God? Wait. Who is the image of the invisible God? Who was he describing? He was describing Jesus Christ. John says that the word had been made flesh and dwelt among us. When Paul had a revelation of this word becoming flesh before the resurrection, he was describing this word becoming flesh. Who he was before the resurrection. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. He says that who is what? Who is the image of the invisible? So when Jesus appeared on this earth, when he was born, you all know how he was born. When he came into the earth, the Bible says that he was the image of the invisible. We said that he was the copy of the Father. So that his appearance was the appearance of the Father, of the invisible. Jesus Christ came as a visible being for the invisible God. So when he was walking on this earth, he was the invisible being of the invisible God, the visible personality of the invisible God. He calls him the image of the invisible. He came to show forth how the invisible is. Oh, Jesus. Shout hallelujah. He came to show forth. That was when before his resurrection. That is why he said unto them, he said, if you have seen me, he said, you have seen the Father. Philip says, show us the Father, and he suffices. And he says, no. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Why? Because the Bible describes him as the image of the invisible. Oh, shout a big hallelujah. There is a difference between the one who was created in the image of God. Let us make man in our image. The man who was made in the image of God. And the one who was the image of the invisible. There's a difference between the one who was made in the image of God and the one who was the image of the invisible. He says, who was the image of the invisible? Tell somebody, he was the image of the invisible. He was the image of the invisible. Then he said that the image, you understand that one? That is why he could say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So when he was walking on this earth, he was walking as the image of the invisible before his resurrection. But he had a better purpose, a higher purpose. That's why I say the purpose of Christ is not sin. It's beyond that. You see, but in order to achieve all the things he had to achieve, he had to deal with sin first. That is why there was the... Let's continue. Now. Yes, continue. The firstborn of every creature. Oh, hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout another big hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, listen, before the resurrection, he was the firstborn of every creation. Do you know what that means? That means that he was the first one to be born in creation. You see, in the beginning that I described, the first beginning in Genesis, all the things were created. And God made man in his image after his likeness and gave him his own dominion. But this one was not described as the one who was just made in the image of God. No. He was described as the one who was the express image of his person, of the invisible. Then he's described as the firstborn of every creation. So, amongst all those that God created, the first one to be born in creation was Jesus Christ. The first one to be born of God in creation. So the angel went to Mary and said that you give birth to a son, and the name of the son shall be Jesus. He shall be the son of the highest. He says, how shall this be? Knowing that I know not a man. He says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you, and the power of the Almighty shall overshadow you. So that which you shall carry shall be called the Son of the Highest. The first to be born of God. He originated from God. He calls him the firstborn of every creation. So, amongst all that God created and all the beings and the Adamic generation, the first one to be born of God was Jesus. Shout a big hallelujah. Shout another big hallelujah. So he was the firstborn of creation. Continue. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I want you to take notice of how he's describing this person. And then you take notice of how Adam was described in Genesis. Because I'm taking you somewhere. I've told you there are two kinds of creation. There are two kinds of beginnings. You should understand where you are identified with. Which of the beginnings? And why that beginning? Oh, Korah Hasha. The only purpose of God on this earth is the church. The only purpose of God on this earth is the church. You are the only purpose of God. That is why he describes us as the salt of this earth. When he takes the salt out, there is nothing here again. He can destroy it. Hallelujah. So he says that For by him, what does he say? For by him were all things created. That are in heaven. That are in earth. Visible and invisible. Now, you see, he talks about the things on earth. The things in heaven. Visible and invisible. For by him were all things created. The things which are on earth. Adam was just in charge of the created things. Jesus was the one who created it. For by him he created. What did he create? The things which are on earth and the things which are in heaven. The man had command. And then the Bible says that by him things were created. And it begins to describe the things. Visible, invisible, thrones. Continue. Whether they be thrones, dominions, powers, or principalities, or powers, whether visible or invisible. Shout the wisdom of God. Now, he created all things visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. It was by this person, the one who was the firstborn of creation, the one whom John describes as by him, all things were made. And without him was not anything made that was made. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he is before all things. And by him all things exist. He says what?
All things were created by him.
Mm-hmm. For him. Mm-hmm.
And he's before all things.
Now, when you look at how he's describing Jesus, you can now distinguish between... You can see a great gulf between Adam and this Jesus. That was before his resurrection. Tell somebody, know this Jesus. Some of you don't even know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. But then he says, for by him all things were created, visible, invisible, all things.
This is powerful.
It's powerful. But you see, all things were created by him and for him. But you see, in the description, listen, I want to take you somewhere right now. In the description, you realize that in all the description, he never says that all things were in him. Now, I said the first creation is in Genesis. Write this one now. Write the second creation. Or the second beginning. The second creation, the second beginning. The second beginning. The second beginning is the reconciliation of all things in one. Or the second creation is the reconciliation of all things in one. The second creation, or the second beginning, is the reconciliation of all things in one, even Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Now, that is the second beginning. Now I explain. So, Paul has described this Jesus when he was walking on this earth. John has described him, who he was, when he was walking on this earth. Why was he walking on this earth? To begin this second creation. The second beginning of things. So when he was walking on this earth, the Bible says that he had to suffer and enter into his glory. So Jesus had to die. The reason why he had to go through all those things was because sin had entered. But you see, all the processes of dealing with sin on the cross, burial, all those things were a means to an end. They were not an end in itself. So he had to handle the issue of sin. So Jesus was made sin, the Bible says. Who knew no sin? Hallelujah. So we all know about Jesus became sin. Who doesn't know about that? Let's continue. We don't have much time. So Jesus was made sin. And Jesus did what? He died. Why? Because he was made sin. Because he was made sin, he died spiritually. In other words, death spiritually means that he was cut off from God. Cut off from the Father. Cut off from the Holy Ghost. He went to the cross. He died physically. His body was carried. His spirit went to hell. When he went to hell, the Bible says that he defeated the devil in hell. Hallelujah. Now, listen. It's very important. When Jesus died, sometimes we say this, and I want to explain this thing. When Jesus died, sometimes we say, when Jesus died, we died with him. No. When Jesus died, we didn't die with him. The Christian did not die with Jesus. See, listen. Listen, it's very important. You see, Paul, whenever Paul was given a revelation, he had a way of giving his the revelation. He had a way of giving his revelation. For the sake of those who were growing, he had to put it that way. That when Jesus died, so at the point when you read the Bible, it says, when he died, we died. And so many Christians say, oh, we were the one who died. No. There is a difference between the one who died and the one who arose. That is why Romans chapter 6, I think verse 12 or verse 14, Romans chapter 6, Paul begins to describe the old man. And at a point in Ephesians, he begins to describe the new man. I'm explaining something about Paul to you. So that when he begins to say that, for instance, you who were dead in your trespasses, you think, oh, I was dead in my trespasses. Has he quickened? Now I'm quickened. That's why people say that, oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You are not a sinner saved by grace. No. The one who died with Christ is the old man. Listen, I taught this thing last year on the predestinate will. That the old man means that the spirit of a person with sin. So Jesus became sin means that Jesus became the old man. Why? For the whole world. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, there is the old man. Say it. Say, there is the old man.
There is the new man.
The old man is the spirit man with sin. The new man is the spirit man with life after the resurrection. So when Jesus went to the cross, he went as the old man. For the whole world. For the sins of the whole world. And died for the sins of the whole world. He was buried. He went to hell as the old man. In other words, when his body was taken, his spirit went to hell. Why? Because anybody who died went to hell. Because when Jesus died, he died in sin. He died as a sinner. He had not sinned before, but he was made sin. So that he could bear the sins of the whole world. As a sinner, his spirit was called the old man. Are you listening now? His spirit was called the old man. So when Jesus went to die, we did not die with him. We are not the ones. The Christian is not the one who died with Christ. No. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But then the old man went to hell. And as a sinner, he went to the devil, conquered the devil. So the old man went to defeat the devil. Jesus went to defeat the devil as a sinner. Are you listening? Now, when he became the old man, because he was made sin, he was no longer the one by whom were all things and for whom were all things. Why? Because, Jesus. These things are... You must listen to them over and over again. Now listen. Because he was the old man, or because he was made sin. At the time he was going on the cross, he was sin. He was a sinner. He was sin and a sinner. Isaiah 53 describes it. He was scorned. He was beaten. He was rejected of men. Full of griefs, full of sorrow. The Bible says he was acquainted with grief. One day I was watching the video. I wanted to go and slap the people. I was wondering what were they doing to him. He was bruised for something he knew nothing about. But you see, when he went as the old man, what Paul was saying, that he was the image of the invisible. Because he had been made sin, he was no longer the image of the invisible. Because he was made sin, he has become a sinner. No sinner is the image of the invisible. Listen, you are not a sinner because you sin. You are a sinner because of the state of your spirit. And you are not righteous because of... You are righteous because of the state of your spirit. See, God defines us by the state of our spirit. Praise God. So, when he became the old man, or he became sin, he was no longer the one for whom are all things and the one by whom are all things. Why? He had left all those behind. He had left all his titles behind. He had been made sin. A man rejected of men, full of sorrows. He was made sin. He was no longer the one by whom are all things and the one for whom are all things. He was no longer. Why? Because he was made sin. What was God doing? That's why I said that it was not just because of sin. Sin is too small for God's purpose. God has a higher purpose than sin. And when we come into line, we come in line with this purpose, our Christian life will change. Our impact as Christians will change. Our mentality will change. Praise God. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You stay at the Colossians chapter 1. Stay there. Let somebody take Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. Why? God was beginning a beginning. It's called the second beginning. It's called the second creation. It's called the new creation. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. And then Colossians chapter 1. Where did you read? Verse 18. To 18 is okay. We'll start from 19 very soon. Mm-hmm.
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10.
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. Mm-hmm.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times.
He might gather together in one all things in Christ.
He might gather together in one all things in Christ.
Both which are in heaven and which are on earth.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
In him. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, what he did was this. When Jesus went as the old man, he defeated the devil in hell. He says, for as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. He says, he himself likewise took part of the same, Then he said that through death. Ephesians chapter, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Someone should open it for me. Let me just explain something before we go right now. For as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he says, he himself likewise took part of the same things, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, or he might render paralyzed. He might paralyze or render powerless the one who has the power of death, even the devil. So he went to hell to render powerless the devil. You didn't hear that? He went to hell to render powerless the devil. So he went to paralyze the devil. He went to he went to make the power of the devil useless and powerless. So the Bible says that he defeated the devil, paralyzed the devil. And then the Bible says that he was raised from the dead, and God raised him from the dead. The Holy Ghost raised him from the dead. Now listen, because he went to hell as a sinner, he could not come back from hell as a sinner. Are you listening? Why? Because if he had come back from hell as a sinner, all that he went there to do would have been useless. So there is what is called the operations of God. Tell someone, say the operations of God. Say the workings of God. The energies of God. Now, the Holy Ghost. Say the Holy Ghost. One of these days, as we continue, I'll talk about the Holy Ghost concerning this particular issue. Because you see, when you understand all these things, they happen by the Holy Ghost. What the Holy Ghost did was to raise Jesus from the dead. The Bible says that if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So the Holy Ghost raised Jesus from the dead. But you see, because when he went to hell, he was a sinner and he was made sin. He couldn't come back as a sinner. So what the Holy Ghost had to do was to operate on him. So he passed Jesus through his womb. I call it the womb of the Holy Ghost, or the operations of the Holy Ghost. I think Colossians chapter 2 verse 12 talks about the operations of God. Enegema, the operations of God. So the Holy Ghost, that is why Hebrews called begotten. Thou art my son. Hebrews chapter 1. Now it's very important. Listen. This day have I begotten thee. Listen. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised another kind of person. Why? He went a kind of person. He came back a kind of person. That is why I say that when a person gets born again, when a person comes and says, I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the one who came to confess and the one who is going are two different people. Say, I'm hearing things.
I am hearing things.
Now listen. So the one who went to hell and the one who arose were different. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a creation. It's not, oh, we arose with him, we arose with him. Oh, hey, glory be to Jesus. No. Write it down. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a creation. It's a beginning. The resurrection. That's why Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There is something about the resurrection of Jesus. It's not just, we arose, let's go. No. That's why last week I said that if you believe that Jesus came into this earth, you've done nothing. You can't be saved because you believe he came into the world. You cannot be saved because you believe that he came to die.
Oh, Shabara Kasaya.
The Bible says that he was delivered for our offenses. That's why I said that sometimes when Paul is writing, like he says, our offenses. Why? Because he's doing it generically. He's generalizing it. If he says that he was delivered for the offense of some people, it would be confusing. So you have to bring that one in. And then later on, explain what bringing the old man and the new man. So that you can know what he's actually talking about. But he says he was delivered for our offenses. Then he says he was raised again for our justification. So when he He was raised from the dead. He was begotten of God. He was begotten of God through the Holy Ghost. So, the spirit man that went to hell, conquered the devil, was different from the one that arose. The one that arose, the one because of sin, had to be worked upon by the Holy Ghost to be made a different kind of person before he could resurrect or before he could be raised. That person is called the new man, the new creation, the new kind of person, the one who was created in in the womb of the Holy Ghost and brought forth. So, the resurrection of Jesus is a creation. It's called the second creation. There's a difference between the Adamic creation or Adamic generation, different from what Jesus did in resurrection. So, when the new man arose or was raised by the Holy Ghost, he was a different kind of person. Now, Colossians chapter 1, Paul continues from verse 19. Look at verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, we started from verse 15. The first one, the invisible. Now he comes to verse 19 and says something different.
Oh, hallelujah.
From verse 18.
And he's the head of the body. The church. Who's the beginning?
Now listen, listen, listen. Open your... If you have your Bibles, open to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's explain something there. So, this beginning is different from the first beginning. He says that he is what? Have you opened your Bibles? If you have opened your Bibles, look at your Bible, look into your Bibles, read 1, 2, go. Now wait. He is what?
The head of the body.
He is the head of the body.
The church.
Who is the beginning? Now listen. Who is the beginning? Who is the beginning? Christ Jesus. The one who was raised from the dead is the beginning. What was he beginning? He was beginning a different generation. The church. He was beginning as the head of the church. So, listen. He calls him the beginning. The beginning of another creation. Now listen. Listen. That creation that arose from the dead is different. Jesus, listen, very important. The one who went to hell and the one who was raised from the dead are two different people. The one who went to hell went as a sinner. The one who was raised as a righteous person. How did that happen? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost raised him as a righteous person, a new man, a new kind of person. Different from the one who went to hell. Have you caught that one?
Oh.
Have you caught that one? So the one who was raised was different from the one who went to hell. He could not come back the same. Now, when he was raised, he had become the head. Continue. The head, the beginning. The head. The beginning of the church. With the church, the church is this kind of generation. The kind of generation which is after the head. The one who arose and his generation. We are that generation. The church. His body. And because the one who arose first from the dead as the beginning. Are you listening? So, the beginning that we know in Genesis and John says in the beginning is different from the beginning that we know now that Paul was talking about. The beginning by resurrection. Tell someone, say the beginning by resurrection.
The beginning by resurrection.
Now listen. So continue. Let me explain something before. He says the firstborn. Who is the firstborn? Now you are here. Who is the firstborn? Now, before he went to hell, before he died, the Bible calls him the firstborn of every creation. By whom all things were created, for whom all things were created. Now the Bible says that he is the firstborn from the dead. The first one to be raised from the dead by God. The first one to lay down his own life and come up. Oh, Jesus. He says he's the firstborn from the dead. Meaning that levels have changed. The one who was the firstborn of every creature is different from now the one who he calls him now the firstborn from the dead. The head of the church. His body. We are the church. He is the head. Are you following? Then he says that he is the firstborn from the dead. Now listen. When he arose from the dead by the Holy Ghost as a new kind of person, he was given the nature and the life of God. So he was made righteous. He had eternal life. The Holy Ghost did all of that. And then he arose. But that was not only all. That was not all. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, where Obed read. Obed, read it again. You read it. We read the same thing here. Repetition. The same thing is there. The same thing is in verse 20 or 21.
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things
that
in Christ.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things.
In Christ.
In Christ. So, we are now in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Hallelujah. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. So, when Jesus was raised from the dead as a new man, because when as a sinner, he had put all things, he was no longer for whom were all things, because he has become a sinner. There is no sinner whom for whom are all things, or by whom are all things, or who created anything, because he had been made a sinner. When he arose, the Bible describes him that God had decided that in these times, in the fullness of times, by his resurrection, he would gather in this person, this same person, all things. Then he says, things which are in heaven. That is what is called reconciliation. Now, reconciliation is the gathering of all things into one person. So, he gathered all things into him by resurrection. When Jesus was being raised, he was not only being raised as a new man, Obed, he was also being raised with all things. The things which were for him and by him were not in him. God had decided to gather all those things in him. So that all the things which were for him and by him, the invisible, were to be gathered in him, in one person, called Christ. So, in the first creation, things were created. In the second creation, things were gathered in one person. In the second creation, there was a reconciliation, where there is a gathering of things into one called Christ. So when the head was being raised from the dead, he was being raised with all things. Both visible, invisible, all things in him. All things were in him.
Shout hallelujah.
So he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather in one person all the things. The things which were by him and for him were gathered now in him. Why? And that is the second creation. That is called the new creation. Or the second beginning of things. So when Jesus says, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, he's not talking about Genesis. He is the Alpha. He is the beginning of creation. Let me tell you that beginning. The beginning, the new creation, the beginning of this new creation. By that, he had distinguished between two kinds of people. The one after the Adamic generation and the one after the Christ generation. That's why I said that the church thinks that, oh, we are the seed of Adam. We are not the seed of Adam. We are the seed of Christ. We are the church. He is the head. Where we read that he is the head, the beginning, we are the body, the church. So if the head began, who are we? And then you see, the beginning, continue. Now let's go to, we've read Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. The same thing Paul talks about again in Colossians, where we were reading. Repetition.
And he is the head of the body.
And he is the head of the body.
Who is the beginning?
Who is the beginning?
The
firstborn from the dead.
That in all things.
That in all things he might have the preeminence. Say preeminence. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Or the preeminence. Now, what does that mean? The word preeminence there means that the first of kind. It's like when he says that he's the captain of our salvation. He talks about somebody who is a chief ruler. The one who is the one who began. He's the first of his kind. Oh, Jesus. Shout hallelujah. So the one who was raised from the dead was the first of his kind. He was the first person to be raised from the dead. Listen. So he calls him the firstborn from the dead. Because he was the firstborn from the dead, the head, he is the first of his kind of being. So when Jesus was raised from the dead and went into his body and started showing himself, you know about that. When he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. When he went around talking and appeared on the road of Emmaus and started explaining things to people, the disciples were gathered in one room. The Bible says that he went through the wall and stepped there. So why are you people afraid? Now, at that time, he had become the first of his kind. He was the first person who was his kind. There was nobody apart from him like him. At that time. The kind of nature, the kind of life, and the kind of things that were gathered in him. The first person. Of his kind. Now, then he says he's the head of the church. Who is the church? So, what does it say? Continue. So, when it says the preeminence, it's talking about the first person of his kind. The chief person of his kind. He is the only person who was like he is. There was nobody like him anywhere. So, when he went through the streets of Galilee after the resurrection and showed himself for 40 days, he was the only person who was like him. The only one who had gone to hell, conquered the devil, and had come back. The only person. And the only person who was raised by the Holy Ghost as a new kind of person. And the Bible says that God had gathered all things, the things that were created. The word the word reconcile means to summary. It means to gather all things. See? to sum up. To gather all things into him. So, continue. Let me explain something before. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Continue. I don't want to dwell now.
Just continue.
And having... Oh, Korasa. You see, when you look into the word of God, you will see what I'm saying. It is when you look into the word that you begin to see. What I'm saying right now to you, but when you look into the word of God, you see it there. It is what is in the word of God that I'm doing what? I'm explaining. Are you listening? So he says that having made peace through his blood,
of his cross, by him to reconcile.
By him to do what?
Reconcile.
To reconcile
all things unto himself.
By him.
I say.
Hallelujah. Things on earth or things in heaven, the invisible and the visible, has all been gathered in reconciled. Reconciliation is the gathering of all things into one. Very important. When the Bible says we have received the ministry, you see,
reconciliation is the gathering of all things into one. And the gathering of all those who believe in this one into him. So anybody who believes in this one person, he's also gathered into him. That is, he is created in that person. He is reconciled unto Christ. Or reconciled. That is why he says he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has reconciled us. In other words, when you... Oh, Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Shout another big hallelujah. Now listen, it's very important. Now, if he has gathered all things into one, when you get born again, you are created in that one person. Now that you are born again, you are in that one person. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ. Now, that one person is Christ. He is the head. The head, the first person of his kind. Now, all things have also been gathered what? In him. Then, if any man is born again, he is also created in that one person by the Holy Ghost. So, we say we are in Christ. And Christ is in us. Next week, I'll teach that one. A series of teaching. So, we are in Christ. Christ is in us. But now, you are in this one person who is called Christ. Who is the firstborn from the dead? So he is the firstborn from the dead. And we are the other brothers from the dead. That is why Hebrews says that what? The one who is sanctified and the one who is sanctified are all one. Now listen. Why is this thing very important? So, this man is here. He is the first creation. All things were given to him to have dominion. He messed up, gave it to the devil, the dominion to the devil. There is another person who has come. I am the one. The one who was raised from the dead to begin another beginning. So anybody who is born again is in that one. And he has gathered things both visible and invisible in that one person. It means that anybody who is born again is in the midst of all things. He is surrounded by all things, both visible and invisible. And last week I said that when we say somebody is Lord, it means he has control. So when you identify with the Lordship of Jesus, you're in control. But then you see, when you are created, see, let me tell you this thing. If you want to have recognition in the sight of God, you have to be created in Christ. You can't have recognition in the sight of God. You can't have a meaning in the sight of God. When I'm saying the sight of God, when God looks at you like this, if you want to matter or have a meaning or be recognized, you have to be born again. If a person is not born again and in Christ, he is not recognized. Why? He is known as a child of the devil. That is why we preach the gospel, to take them from the mouth of the devil and put him to where we are. Are you listening? So, for you to be recognized by God or in the sight of God, you have to be born again. That is why he said you must be born again. It's not a choice. Just something you feel like. It's not an option. It says you must be. And when a person is born again, he is in Christ. He is in this one person. Who is this one person? The first one from the dead. The beginning. The one who is the new in his own class. That is why he calls and says, for ye are a chosen generation. What God calls you is who you are. It doesn't matter how you think. For you to see what God calls you and call yourself that way is called faith. So what God calls, if he says you are a chosen generation, it doesn't matter what you've been through and you are still going through. You are a chosen generation. Now, your superiority mentality or consciousness is by this revelation. You can only know yourself superior in all things and over all things by this revelation. So that when you are in this person who was raised from the dead and is seated, and all things, both invisible and visible, are gathered into him, and you are in him. It means that you are superior to all things, both visible and invisible. Listen. You are superior, both visible and invisible. You are superior in him, in one. And you are in the midst of all things. People say, what is in the midst of all things? You are in the midst of all things now. Now that you are born again, everything visible and invisible is inside Christ. You are inside that invisible and visible right now. Why is it important? Why is that very important? Why will God gather all things into one and start a different creation and calls us a peculiar people and says that we are a chosen generation and says that if we are in Christ, we are a new kind of being and says that he is the head, we are the body. Wherever we step, the one who is the first, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The one who is the new creation, the new man. The one in whom all things have been gathered. The one in whom all things have been reconciled to has stepped there. Oh. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why he says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Because the lordship of Jesus is ownership. You being in Christ is you being in ownership. I'm teaching you. Say, teach us. When you understand this thing, what has been there for a long time that you are releasing and is not releasing, it will come. It will not come because it is with a person. It will come because it is in him. Because it is in him. Because what you are releasing is in him. Let me explain this thing to you. Practical, let me explain this thing to you. Now listen. So, Jesus is made owner of all things. By resurrection, he is Lord. By resurrection, he is the righteousness of God, the life of God. And all things are gathered in him. When you get born again and you are identified with, so we say Christ Jesus is your mirror. You are identified with him. You are created in him. His nature becomes your nature. His life becomes your life. His person becomes, the kind of person he is becomes your person. Your spirit. Your spirit is made that way. Then you are in the midst of all things. God, in this creation, made it like Adam. But made it higher than Adam. See, Adam had a garden. All the things were there in the garden. All that Adam needed to do was just go and take it. This time, he has left all the things into one and has put us there to take it. It is called manifestation. They bring open, unveiling of the thing which is inside Christ. See, I'm taking it by force. So, now, when you are born again, you are created in Christ Jesus. You are his possession. He is your possession. And that one I explain it next week too. I'll go further next week. But you are his possession. He is your possession. He owns you. You own him. You own Christ. Christ owns you. So the Bible says that if ye be Christ, in other words, if you belong to Christ, then said, then are ye Abraham's seed. So you belong to Christ. So and Christ belongs to you. You are Christ's possession. Whatever he has, he is. You are, you have. So if all things have been gathered in him, all things have been gathered in you, you have it because you are in him. That is why Paul, looking at the Corinthian church, he looked at them. He said, all things are yours. He was teaching one day, he looked at the church, he looked at them, he said, all things are yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, read it over. Say, all things are mine. Oh, you've not caught it. Say, all things are mine. Say it again. Say, all things are mine. So, in the second stand up. You stand up. In the second creation, or the new creation, anybody created in Christ has what Christ has. He doesn't have to have dominion over. He has to just possess it. So we are not now possessing our possessions. We have already possessed our possessions. What are we doing right now? What am I doing right now? I'm unveiling it to you. To unveil means that something is here. It is hidden. What do I do when I open the bag right now and take this envelope? What have I done? I've unveiled it to you. What is already with you is what I'm unveiling to you. And who you already are, so that you could have what? A superiority mentality.
Robert, read it.
1 Corinthians chapter 3.
I'm growing greater and greater. Say, I'm growing greater and greater. You cannot be lesser in life.
Oh, you didn't hear. I didn't hear anybody say anything.
You cannot be lesser in life. Say, I cannot be lesser in life. It's too late to be less. Why? Because it has already been done. This is an unveiling. The more of your fellowship with this truth, the more what is in Christ will manifest.
Oh, go shade the man.
Obed, read it. It says that all things are what?
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, let no one boast in men.
Let no one boast in men.
Mm-hmm.
For all things are yours.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
Whether Paul
or Apollos
or Cephas
or the world
or life or death
or things present
or things to come all are yours amen. And ye are Christ
ye are Christ You belong to Christ Say I belong to Christ.
I'm the seed of Christ
I'm the generation of Christ
I'm the generation of Christ
The Christian is the generation of Christ He's coming out of Christ He is in Christ He is where Christ is You understand so let have this consciousness that all things are yours. You say, hey, all things are mine. You say, oh, I'm not experiencing any of those things. You don't have to experience first. You have to know first. You have to know. That is why Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of this calling.
Oh, Jesus. Shadadabaka. Lift up your right hand and pray in the Holy Ghost. Zotalama ko shendelebe. Zufago kotos kapai. Likorondo sinke delebe koshaya. Now listen. I want to teach this, but next week I will teach it.
Now all things are yours. How can they be a manifestation of these things? You said, I need this thing. What you need is already yours. When he says all things, what you need is part of the all things. God is a wise God. He said all things. So whatever you can mention is in the all things. I call it the realm of inexhaustible. Unlimited. Why? Because it says all things are yours. Whether you are experiencing all things or not, does not matter. He has said it is yours. That's why last week I said it, that when God said, called Abraham, he had no son. But he called him father of all nations without a son. God called him that way because God saw it that way. Now, God, it is written down what God thinks or sees, how he sees us. For us to also walk around like Abraham, walking and saying that I'm the father of nations without one son. And the Bible says, against all hope, he believed in hope. And the thing happened. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. The man had no son. But he said it was Abraham, father of many nations. Imagine yourself, imagine you entering a shopping mall without any son. You are old. Your wife is old. They call you Abraham. Everybody knows that Abraham means the father of all.
They look around, there is no sun. So what God calls you is what he has called you. You don't experience it before you call yourself that way. He says that you are created in Christ. Say, I'm created in Christ. Say, Christ is my life. I'm part of the new beginning. Say, I'm part of the new beginning. In Christ Jesus. I'm part of the new generation. The new creation. God did it such that we can walk on this earth in the midst of things and manifest those things. That is why Jesus, when he arose from the dead, one day the Bible says that he went to the seashore. When he went, Peter and John and all those people were fishing. They had fished a whole night. They had nothing. Jesus shouted. He said, have you any meat? They said, no. He said, cast the net to the right hand. The Bible says, when they are cast the net to the right hand, there were fishes. Why? Control over all things. You cannot be suppressed.
Oh.
I said, you cannot be suppressed. You see, this is called knowledge. This is the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of who you are. So that you can manifest the things which are already in Christ. He has called us into him in the midst of all things. What you are already looking for from somebody is in him. The reason why that person will release it is because it doesn't belong to him.
Oh, you didn't hear that.
You didn't hear that. That which is in the hand of somebody is not for him, it's for you. Because whatever is in somebody's hand is in Christ. I don't know how to explain it. I want an example. Okay. What example should I give? Your job, or let's say your contract, or your what? Your cash. Whatever you are looking for is already in Christ. The reason why, come on, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. See, let me tell you this. You don't know who the Holy Ghost is. You see, the Holy Ghost moves on this knowledge. The reason why the person has to release that contract or that cash is because even though he is holding the cash, that cash is already in Christ. And because you are in Christ, it belongs to you. So it is like something which is in Christ in the hands of the wrong person. How is it released? By the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, the one who dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So when Jesus said, this should come, the Holy Ghost will go and take it quickly. Whoever was listening to me tonight, if you are here tonight, you are going home with a miracle. Amen. Whatever you've been holding for a long time, whatever somebody has been holding for a long time, whatever you are looking for, you are looking for this thing, you need this, you need that. That which you are looking for is already with you in Christ. The reason why you can exercise dominion and take it and see the move of the Holy Ghost to bring it to you is because it is already in him.
You didn't hear that.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? So,
stand up.
It's very important. When we understand these things, when we understand these things, we move with a superiority complex. We are not inferior because somebody employed us. No. We are not inferior because somebody is collecting this one, I'm not collecting, or somebody is doing this and I'm not doing it. No. Say, I cannot be inferior. Say, I cannot be inferior.
I cannot be inferior.
Say that again. Say, I cannot be inferior.
I cannot be inferior.
Say that again. Say, I cannot be inferior.
I cannot be inferior.
See, you are going to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you don't speak in tongues, just worship Jesus. Worship God. You see, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost, he is the Spirit of Christ. Lift up your hands. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Kolema Shadaya. Now lift up your voice. I want us to just pray in the Holy Ghost with the keyboard. Don't worry. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Kolema Shandalaba. Shombagabala Kasaka.
Endo shekele mandala basonda la bashanda la ba zikatolo moshekele monda la basindi libikandolo boko shanda la ba makabala bashekele bozindi libikandolo boko shendele bikanda la ba malebo sikitala mazundi libikandolo boko shandi libianta la bahaya magadala basanda la bandi libianto shedi libianta la baha malimo shekele masindi libianto loboko shendele bikanda la bahaya Rabada Baduski Bri Antoroboko Sandini Mikanda Rabanda Rabasanda Rabando Sendeboko Sandini Bianta Rabanda Rabasanda Rababo Randeboko Sandini Bianta Imando Se Ricardo Robosa.
The word is a seed when planted and watered grows to the grave. You can be anything you want, can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. The word of God is here today, coming right at you. Would you believe it? Dare to receive.